discipline your mouth. So I want us to turn to Matthew 12. God is wanting to do something in our lives, and when he does those things, we have God moments. And the question is, are we remembering those God moments, or are we forgetting about those God moments? You know, we need to share testimonies. We need to remind ourselves that God is speaking to us. God is wanting to be part of our life, not just on Sunday. This is a lifestyle in which you and I are to live every day. He wants to be in your life, to shape your life, mold your life, to be the man or woman of God that he's called you to be. So when we look at Matthew 12, 33, Jesus said, "Neither make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruits bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you are justified, and by your words you are condemned." One thing that I want us to see here is that the Pharisees and the scribes, they did not like Jesus doing miracles. And this was one of the biggest things that they were upset about, was is that they accused Jesus of being a follower of Beelzebub and casting out demons, and they were calling Jesus a follower of the devil. And yet, because of the miracle signs and wonders, Jesus healed a deaf, mute person, and he was also blind. To think of, how could a house divided against itself stand? What Jesus was doing is saying, look, you can say things about me, but how are you going to say things about the Holy Spirit? When you actually see it before your very eyes, the power of God at work healing this deaf, blind, mute person. And so they were saying, you're of the devil, when we see that it was truth that came forth, that God, through his son, Jesus Christ, was not of the devil at all. And he says, by your words, you're identified. By your words and actions, for every idle word, for everything that you speak, you will give an account of it in the day of judgment. Because Jesus knew that he was going to be on the cross, but the miracles and signs and wonders speak for themselves that he was not serving the devil at all, but Almighty God. Good fruit, that of the good treasure, that of the bad fruit, that of the bad treasure, it still comes down to what Jesus is saying, by your words you are justified, and by your words you are condemned. So let's look at Proverbs 18, verse 21. I would have to say, in this day and age, people are not disciplining their mouths. Even Christians are not disciplining their mouths. And yet, we need to discipline our mouth. So when we look at Proverbs 18:21, it even says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So it even kind of ties into the Matthew 12:33, of that of the good tree comes forth good fruit, and that of the bad tree brings forth bad fruit. And so when we think of the things that we say and the things that we do, do they bring life or do they bring death? Do they bring death? Do they bring life? It says there's power in the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So a person's life largely reflects the fruit of his tongue. If I were to be around you for a couple hours, you would know the fruit of my mouth, or I would know the fruit of your mouth just based on the things that you would say. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? And so, again, a person's life largely reflects the fruit of their tongue. So when you and I speak, what is God hearing, and what are other people hearing? Amen? It's just the truth. Well, let's reflect on what people have said in the past. Let's go clear back to Genesis. Look at Genesis 4, 1 through 10. This is a story about Cain and Abel. And so when we think of God knowing our thoughts, knowing the things that we do, we cannot fake God out. We cannot deceive God. And I want this to be something valuable to us as we look and understand the power of words. We see it in God's word, but we understand it, how it affects us today. It says, Adam and Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, and this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his tenants fell. And the Lord said, Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desires for you, but you should rule over it. Now, I want us to pay attention to what Cain says. Now, Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? This is not a mystery. The Lord knew what had happened to Abel. Again, where's Abel, your brother? He says, I do not know. That's a lie. Am I my brother's keeper? Showing that he didn't want to show any responsibility for his own brother. The Lord God said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. And you think about this, as we look at that verse again, let's see that verse 9 and 10, it says, the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? And to think of, do you think Adam and Eve hadn't been talking to their sons about the Lord? And yet, what we see here, that Cain says, I do not know. His own words were convicting himself. And then to say, am I my brother's keeper? I'll tell you, we're each other's brother's keepers here. And to think of that, you know what? He's not my problem. Not my problem, Lord. Am I my brother's keeper? Not my problem. But what the Lord God said was, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So Cain was speaking out of the abundance of heart. He turned hatred towards his brother Abel, and God knew Cain's voice. God knew Abel's voice, and God even heard Abel's blood cry out with a voice from the ground. And people think every day of deception. They're thinking, how can I get away with something so nobody will know about it? The thing is, God knows all things. God knows your voice before you even speak it. So he knows our thoughts. Let's go a little bit further. Let's look at Matthew 16. And this is a story about Peter. Jesus asked this question, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? And one of the things that Peter says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, so he had that revelation. He saw miracle signs and wonders, and he spent a lot of time with Jesus seeing those miracle signs and wonders, and there was that proof of, in Matthew 16, verse 15, where Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." I want you to think about that. Now, who revealed this to him? My Father who is in heaven. That's what Jesus is saying. And so there was this encounter that Peter had, this revelation of Jesus not only doing miracle signs and wonders, "You're the Son of the living God." Amen? I can imagine Peter was kind of, "That's right. Jesus spoke that over me." Jesus said things to make me look important. Pride can get in the way really big. But could you imagine that in this time that Jesus is saying that to Peter and the other disciples are around him? And I want us to see how deception can get in the way. So when we look at Matthew 16:21, I want us to see the importance of not only Peter saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," and then Peter said something else that was pretty interesting. When we look at Matthew 16:21, it says, "From that time," because he told the disciples, "Don't tell anyone this. I don't want you to speak about it, but I want us to see something very important, the power of words, of disciplining your mouth." So it says, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem." I want you to say that word with me, must. Say must. Let me say this again. "From the time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised the third day." Notice that there was something here that he was sharing with the disciples and that he must go to Jerusalem. Listen to what Peter says. "Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him." He just told Jesus he's Christ, the Son of the living God, and then he takes Peter to the side. "Hey, come over here, Jesus, I want to talk to you," and rebuke him for what he just told him, saying, "Far it be for you, Lord, that this should happen to you." And Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Wait, he just said something good about him that Peter just had revealed from the Father. Now all of a sudden, Jesus is saying to him, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." And that's what I have to say today. Do we find ourselves declaring the greatness of God, "You are the Son of the living God," and then we turn around and we say things that we shouldn't even be saying, that is contrary to the Word of God? I want us to think about this. When Jesus spoke these things to Peter, I'm sure it just broke his heart. Especially when he said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you an offense to me." So basically what he's saying, are you with me or against me? Because my plan is due to the will of the Father. I must go to Jerusalem. I must suffer for many things. Whether you like it or not, Peter, regardless of what you think, because I know you went to the Mount of Transfiguration and you saw some things there that others didn't get to see, but yet I must do the will of the Father. And what Jesus is saying, "Get behind me, Satan," what he was saying is, look, you are not thinking in line with my heart and my will. So he's basically saying, are you with me or are you against me? Because what he's saying here is, Jesus said, "For you are not mindful of the things of God." And that's what I have to ask us, even today. Are we mindful of the things of God? But he says, but the things of men. And I think our voice, our mouth says, are we in line with God's word? Are we in line with man's word? Peter spent time with Jesus 3.5 years. And to think, even with us today, we have to take thoughts captive unto the obedience of Christ and think, are these mindful things of God? Are these the mindful things of men? To be mindful of the things of men is to speak life, is to speak God's perspective on any issue of life. Any issue of life. God's perspective. Amen? To speak death is to declare life's negatives. To declare defeat, to be one who complains constantly. To speak life is to speak God's perspective on any issue of life. This is God's perspective. To speak death is to declare life's negativities. To declare defeat, to be one who complains constantly. So then I have to go on to this next thing. What personality would you rather be around? One who speaks God's perspective or one who is negative all the time? See, life and death are in the power of the tongue. So then I have to ask this question. To discipline your mouth, what are you saying in your home? Because we can come to church and we can say all the right things. What are you saying in your home? What are you doing in the home? Are you saying things, have you disciplined your mouth that you're saying things based on God's word and his perspective? Or are you saying things that are negative and constantly pulling down, creating an atmosphere within your home that is a constant complaint that is wearing the house out? I have a choice in my house. I'm a male, I'm a husband, I'm a father. I have a responsibility. Now, I'm just going to tell you this. When I get home, I have a responsibility to turn the temperature up where it's warm, or I can turn the temperature down where it's cold. I can come into the house and have an attitude that will bring my house to winter. But I can come in the house and smile, how's your day? And I can turn the thermostat up to where it's summer and it's comfortable and it's a pleasant place to be in. Now, men, you have a responsibility of what you want that temperature in that house to be. And maybe the kids are running around being a little rambunctious and being kids. Maybe you have a wife that's grumpy or something like that. Well, you better start turning up the heat and bringing some warmth in, because if you still want it to be winter, you can have as much winter as you want. Because if you do not discipline your mouth, you bring either winter or you bring summer. So what do you want? Marriage is falling apart, confrontation, things are going on. Better start bringing some warmth into the atmosphere, or your house is going to be really cold. So what do you want? What do you want, men? What do you want, women? Sometimes when we think of the husband not being there, the women have a responsibility with the children to either bring summer or winter. Literally talk to kids. My parents don't love me. They're always saying, they're always ganging up on me. There's winter in the house. And it's because the disciplining of the mouth has not taken place. Kids' hearts and their minds rise and fall based on the parents' mouth. So do you want winter or do you want summer? When we don't discipline our mouth, we've created the very thing that we've actually sown into and reaped the results from it. Sometimes that can be hard to take in when we feel like there's no chance of change. There's always chance of change. The only one that doesn't change is Jesus. We're called to change. By the power of the Word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God wants to take us like clay, and He wants to be the potter, and He wants to mold us and shape us to be more like Him. And when we're not allowing the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to do that, that's called disobedience. I'll be the first to raise my hand. Been there, done it, got a t-shirt. I'll get another one. But all I'm saying is He's still wanting to shape me, mold me. And sometimes we have to do a heart check and a mind check. You know what? The things that I'm saying aren't glorifying God. They're not glorifying Jesus. They're not glorifying the Holy Spirit. Amen? So that's why it's so important that we discipline our mouth. Remember, once you release it, you can't take it back. That's why it's so important to take every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ. Praise the Lord. All right. So let's go back to Matthew 12, 33. I've said some things that have hurt Susie's feelings. Really? Yeah. That I can't take back. So it's hurtful to her heart and mind. Guess what I have to do? I have to come with a repentant heart. Forgive me. See, that brings correction. Doesn't mean that she's okay. No, she has to work through that process of I'm hurt. That hurt me. So when we think of releasing words that hurt, that's why it's so important that we discipline our mouth, that we take every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ, is that what we release, we can't take back. I try to do this with her. Hey, beautiful. I like releasing those words. No, seriously, there's a reason for that. Hey, beautiful. Hey, gorgeous. Hey, sexy. Well, that's our love language. That's not your love language. But what it is, it's affirming why we're still married 40 years. It's like the bank. You got to make the deposits. So discipline your mouth to say the right things, because if you're not saying the right things and start making negative deposits, guess what? You don't come this way. You go that way. You go this way because you're making the wrong deposits, right? Okay. Same thing with friendships. What do you do? Oh, I was just joking. Well, those are still released words. Pretty soon the joking's not very joking, right? Husbands and spouses. Well, I was just joking. Still hurtful moments, hurtful thoughts, hurtful things. Pretty soon the deposits layer upon layer to where this isn't funny anymore. So be wise in disciplining your mouth in what to say. Do Susie and I have a perfect marriage? Absolutely not. If she would just do everything I asked, everything would be perfect. Do you understand what I'm saying? Two worlds colliding together, friendships colliding together. Come on, let's discipline our mouth. Let's think about the words that we're saying. So when we look at Matthew 12, 33, Jesus simply is saying our words identify who we are by what we say. And we'll give account for those things that we say. So as we read the scripture again, in Matthew 12, 33, again, it says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Okay? Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of hearts bring evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account in the day of judgment. For by your words you are justified, by your words you are condemned. You say, Pastor, I've heard that scripture over and over, yes, and we need to keep repeating it over and over for a reason. Because I want us to see something here. From reading Matthew 12:33, there's first things that come out of words when we look at that scripture, okay? When we look at Matthew 12:33-37, I want us to see, number one, words produce fruit. Words produce fruit. Is it good or is it bad fruit? The other thing is this, number two, is words reveal our character. It says, out of the good treasure of our heart, bring forth good things. So number two, words reveal character. If I'm cynical, if I do certain things to harm different people, that is not out of the good treasure. That's out of the bad treasure. Well, I'm going to get back at them. That's out of the bad treasure. So what are we pulling out of the words reveal character? Okay, number three, words transmit power. Words are so powerful. Remember, in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Right? So words transmit power. Number four, based on the scriptures, words determine our reward and judgment. See, sometimes we don't, oh, I'm just going to say whatever I want. Really? You better think about what you say before you speak. Think before you speak. Because words determine your reward and judgment. Number five is words shape our destiny. Words shape our destiny. So let's say I'm always having a bad attitude at work or doing something. I'm just using this as an expression. Is this, if you are negative all the time, your destiny is probably not going to be better. Because remember, it's out of the fruits, out of the goodness of your heart, out of the good treasure of your heart. See, out of the good tree brings forth good fruit. See, when we see those things based on God's word, your destiny is going to be better. Right? All right. Let's see as a great example in what we say and what we believe is found. And let's look at Romans 10, 9, and 10. Okay, why do we want people to get saved? Because we want them to have eternal life, right? God said, go therefore. He says in Mark 16, go therefore and make disciples. He's saying, get them saved, then disciple them. So let's look at this. We see this is found in Romans 10, 9, and 10. For if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So words bring forth fruit, right? So the things that we confess with our mouth are going to bring forth fruit. Then it also says that the word reveals our character. Jesus, I need you as a Lord and Savior, right? You're saying within yourself, I'm not only going to confess him in the Lord, I'm going to believe in my heart the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead and says, you will be saved, destiny. Reward, destiny. Now, there's a positive reward and judgment, and there's a negative reward in judgment. And you know what? When you proclaim Jesus, there's a reward. And when you deny Jesus, there is. Is that a reward? That is not a reward. But it is a destiny. See, there's a destiny in believing in Christ, and there's a destiny not believing in Christ. And yet, by the words, that you confess you believe in the destiny of salvation. By your words, there is even a destiny that takes you to hell. So when we look at the scriptures, Romans 10, 9, and 10, and we think of this, there's not only the words of your mouth. You know, Paul's saying you need to confess it with your mouth. And even Jesus said these words, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. Isn't that interesting? The power of words. So we need to believe in God. We need to understand the importance of discipline in our mouth, because either we're going to have a boldness in declaring Jesus as personal Lord and Savior, or we're going to be of that of doubt and unbelief. And I'm going to close with this scripture in Matthew 4:4. Why do we believe that our mouth doesn't have significance, and yet when it comes to God's word, Jesus relied on God's spoken word? So when we look at Matthew 4:4, it says, but he, Jesus, answered and said, it is written. Remember, Satan came to tempt Jesus after he's in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights. It says, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we even see the significance of the mouth of God. We even see the significance of Jesus speaking these words, and us as children of God, the significance in the very things that we say. We need to discipline our mouth. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen. We need to believe, we need to live by what the Word of God says for His glory, not our glory, for His glory. Amen. Praise the Lord.